This is Kevin Walter, your host. True Wealth, as always, is sponsored by Coins Plus, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Been doing business a little over 20 years, always buying and selling all forms of gold and silver, precious metals, coins, collections, estates, kind of you name it, we do it. Folks, if you've gotten roped in, we'll say, by this company or that out there, maybe you're ashamed. We run into this, okay? Companies, people get hooked, okay? They listen to the radio or something, and they hear a company, and they call, and they make a financial mistake, and they overpay, and they're embarrassed, or they think, you know, whatever. I'm just saying, don't be embarrassed to come here and talk to us and let us help you out. The most important thing is if you've gotten into an investment, okay, that is a loser, okay, waiting will not make it better. If you're losing money, waiting will not make it better. A lot of times people think, you know, well, I'm not going to actually lose the money until I sell. Well, that's not true. You actually lost you've lost the money now. And if you don't believe me, go do an asset sheet. Go do a financial statement with your liabilities, your assets, etc. Your net worth is based on what that item or investment is worth today. And so I say that just because we've run into this a few times. There was a period of time where, we'll just say advertising was heavy. And you guys remember, I mean, if you really go to the extreme, some of you may remember the old, remember when, I don't know if you ever watched TV, but Cash for Gold. Remember that? Cash for Gold. Well, they were everywhere. They were making so much money. This is when gold was, you know, on its way up pretty heavy. They were making so much money, they paid $2 million to advertise on the Super Bowl. A friend of mine who specialized, whose family was a third generation specialists in Chinese coins, got called by these guys, these Cash for Gold guys, and they said, you got to come here, you know, we've got so much stuff. And boy, did they. This friend of mine showed up. He said they had like laundry hampers, like these huge commercial laundry hampers, all over, literally so full of gold the wheels were breaking off. And this, they were all over the TV nationally. And they would, I mean, internally in our business, we would, you know, laugh, I guess, at, they would show a lady or a guy and a guy or, you know, a number of people. And they'd say, I got $1,500 for my gold. And they'd be holding a tray that literally had like $25,000 worth of gold on it. So, you know, it was to kind of give the impression, you know, that of what your gold was worth. What was worse was, if you remember, they used to send out gold kits. They'd say, oh, call for your gold kit today. And you'd get the gold kit. And what the gold kit was this great big sealable bag, big, good size. And you would seal it, and it was sealed when you were done. It was made out of kind of tear-proof plastic, you know, or close. And then they would make you sign it. They'd say, sign here, you know, sign over the seal. And people think, oh, yeah, well, of course they want you to sign over the seal. They wouldn't pay attention to the fact that when they signed it, they basically were agreeing that once that company got their gold, it was over. It was done. They were done. that company, Cash for Gold, owned them. They would literally send people such exorbitantly small amounts of money. It was unbelievable. We had a situation in here at the time where there was this estate. There was two brothers and two sisters. And the one sister, for some odd reason, was made the executor. She was a very high-strung person, extremely kind of that edgy, high-strung personality. And she was in charge, if you know what I mean. And she was going to do it her way. And she had called Cash for Gold. Well, they had promised her, you know, that she would get, you know, so much blah, blah, blah. And I was sitting there with the rest of the family, and I'm explaining, "Your watch out, be careful, these people are dangerous, you know, and so forth and so on." And the sister that was the executor was like, "No, that's not true. I know what I'm doing, and I talked to him, and blah, blah, blah." So she got our offer. Believe it or not, at the time, we offered $34,000 for her for gold jewelry. I mean, and that's a ton if you know much about gold jewelry. And there was some, you know, a lot of diamonds, but small diamonds. And she said, "No, I'm not going to sell. I spoke to Cash for Gold, and they told me this, and they told me that." And the brothers and the sisters were like, "Come on, let's just sell it here. You know, Coins Plus has an impeccable reputation," and so forth and so on. Nope, she wasn't going to do it. So I offered her $34,500 about. She was not very polite and not very fun to deal with. About 2, maybe 3 weeks later, I get a phone call. And she says, "Kevin," I said, "Yes." She goes, "This is so-and-so. Do you remember me?" I said, "Of course I do." She said, "I need your help." She said, "This Cash for Gold place sent me a check for $7,500. Now, remember, 3 weeks earlier, I'd offered her $34,500. And she, you know, she had a fiduciary responsibility to the estate. I mean, she had to take care of these people, of her brothers and sisters, et cetera. So she was asking me, "What can I do?" I said, "Nothing. You sign the agreement. Yes, you're done. You're done." She's like, "I can't be. There's no way." I said, "I tried to explain to you." She goes, "I know." So she said, "What can I do?" I said, "All you can do is just call and beg and threaten and, you know, tell them you got attorneys and everything else. And that's it. I mean, that is absolutely all you got." So she did, and I think she went from like $7,500. She got them up to like $9,500. That was it, and we were at $34,500. And this company was buying quantities that you would not even fathom. They had saturated the television for 50 states, and it was unbelievable the money they were making. It was crazy, crazy. So. You know, and then what happened is Congress came in, primarily because, thieves, they, you know, technically this company Cash for Gold was not abiding by any of the laws. When we buy something, there was a period of time a while ago where, like Jewelry Design Center was trying to imply, you know, bad things about us and other people, you know, that. You know, we were the number one buyer in the city. They did the police that run the secondhand unit. They did random audits, and we were buying as much scrap gold in one store here at Coins Plus as we were buying almost as much scrap gold as all of 18 of the Pawn One shops combined, which was good. Because you need to understand that pawn shops do not pay fair. Pawn shops are not in the business of being fair. Fairness is not a word that is used there. Fairness is not a word. They don't care. They don't care. They're all about the money. I've hired people from pawn shops. It's their thought process is completely contrary to that of Coins Plus. Coins Plus is, well, Christian owned and operated. And, you know, I hesitate with that because you have to be so careful about leading in with your faith. When we throw our faith out there as a leading factor in doing business, we are not we're not jeopardizing our reputation. We are jeopardizing the reputation of Jesus Christ. Why? Well, you're human. I'm human. We make mistakes. We have personality flaws. Some people have greed. One thing I've run into, I was just thinking of the other day. I've seen my share of Christians that have done very unethical things. I mean, we're all human. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not gonna. When I'm talking unethical, I mean unethical. And I've seen it. But we've got to be very careful about using the name of Jesus in vain. That's you know where the commandment, whatever number it is. When I built my I built a kind of a palatial estate here about 8-9 years ago. And it was something I always dreamt of. I always just loved real estate. I probably should, I should have been an architect. All my aptitude tests said I should have. It was a very natural thing for me. I ironically, when I was in college, I had drawn a home, a dream home, just because I used to love to draft. And I drafted a dream home. The home that I built, and it's ironic because we bought a very large home on the water, and then we remodeled it and added to it. When I got done, the home that I built, now you got to remember, I bought the home intact, and the home had a structure already in place that we enhanced and then added to. That home was exactly the home that I had drafted, God had put in my mind, clear back in college, back in the 80s. Very interesting. There's a number of other things like that that have happened in my life. I really believe that God plants seeds of dreams and hopes inside of us. And so it's important that you follow those dreams and hopes. People will ignore them, avoid them, get themselves in situations where they cannot pursue their dreams. I've heard, you know, secularly foolish things. They're like, you know, people will be like, man, I'm just unhappy in my job. I'm unhappy in this. I'm unhappy in that. You'll get psychologists or whatever that'll say, well, to find out your true desires, you need to ask yourself, what did you like to do when you were 5 years old? Or, you know, that's your real, you know. Well, I don't buy that. But I do buy the fact that in a roundabout way, God puts a destiny in each one of us. The parable of talents I love is very clear that each of us is given a set of talents and we are accountable for those. And we need to pursue them. We get ourselves into situations where we get a job and maybe we get debt, okay? And then we got the car payments and then we got the house payments and then we got this and then we got that. And then, you know, careful. I mean, folks, if you're in that situation, you know, you listen to like Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey tells you to get out of debt. Good for him. He's right. For the most part, and I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute. He says, get out of debt. I agree. For the most part, there are situations where you need debt to leverage assets or income. let's say that you need a job. And let's say you get a good job. And that job is, you know, X miles away, and but it pays well. You may need a car or a better car, and you may need to finance a portion of it. But you've got to be, number one, brilliant, you know, wise. Be careful. Folks, I'm going to throw a left curve, but Consumers Reports. Now, this is really off the wall because it's, but it's, you know, True Wealth. Consumers Reports does extensive testing of automobiles and everything else. If you're going to buy a new washer, dryer, microwave, you know, you name it, car, electronic appliance, computer, anything. Consumers Reports does some very extensive testing. I'm not crazy about the company. They're left wing. They used to bother me all the time for donations. I told them absolutely no way. They literally go to war for left wing causes, which I do not get. Why do all these mega corporations and advocate groups like the AARP, you know, the for retired people, even Consumers Reports, why are they always left wing, left leaning? I mean, not even left leaning anymore. Now it's you can be proud to be a socialist, communist, Marxist now. Do you know that that happened? Well, as a just a side note, that's a good place to get information on making good, wise purchases. Okay, they do a lot of. I mean, they have a testing facility that would blow your mind. I mean, they've got their own huge racetracks for cars. They've got, you know, they will literally go out and buy, you know, multiples, dozens of a certain product, every brand, every model. I mean, and they will beat the tar out of it. You should see what they do to a washer and dryer or a microwave. I mean, they really do test the stuff. It's a good place to find out. You know, some good, it's a good place to find out good quality products. You want to be wise with your money. You want to be a good steward, okay? So that's one thing. Occasionally, you do need to use debt. Now, we live in a world, I mean, I think about the fact that 100 and X years ago, there was no debt, okay? Debt came about with the Federal Reserve. Before that, everything was cash. It was, you know, a house, the average price of a home was $700 and some. And people didn't get mortgages. They just bought them, you know? And then you could have got mortgages, but they were, you know, extraordinarily high down payments, very short-term loans, and very uncommon. You know, you'd have like a $27 a month mortgage payment or something. Once the Fed came into effect, they started to loan money like it was going out of style. They literally intentionally buried America in debt. This is what killed us. Why? The economy was exploding. Why? Well, the Fed was starting to create fiat currency like it was, you know, there was no end in sight. Alongside that, we still had gold and silver circulating. In addition to that, we were creating Federal Reserve notes that said they were still redeemable in gold. Okay? But they weren't. But it was left there, quote, by accident, because they didn't have enough time. And I've heard every excuse under the sun. Okay? They left it there on purpose to build false confidence, to get people to deposit their gold in the banks. Then the Federal Reserve took the gold, continued to produce monopoly money, which is nothing more than you have in your pocket right now, is nothing more than monopoly money. It is nothing more than an IOU from a private individual. Now, you may not understand that, but your Federal Reserve note, your Federal Reserve banknote is no different than if I made a real pretty banknote and said, I, Kevin Walter, guarantee that this is worth $10. And so this was going on. So you had gold and silver still circulating. You had Federal Reserve banknotes floating all over the place. Now, these were being built out of nothing and backed by nothing. You had false gold clause notes everywhere. Okay, so what happened? The stock market roared. Sound familiar? That was called the Roaring Twenties. Folks, we are nearing the end, and maybe rolling into the Roaring Twenties again. We're nearing the end of the Roaring Teens and heading towards the Roaring Twenties. It will end. It will end hard. It will end fast. It will not last. I promise you, 100% guaranteed, absolutely no exception, no debate, irrefutable, indisputable. You will see a market collapse coming relatively soon. Mueller, who heads up this special investigation force or special prosecution of Trump, he will not quit until he absolutely devastates Trump's reputation. He is a man of terrible ethics. He's a man of pure corruption. The people that work with him and around him, there's so much corruption that has presented itself from the Democratic side during this process. It's not, I mean, it's unfathomable. It's like not even real. But they don't care. They're not looking for the truth. They're not looking for ethics. They don't care. They just want to destroy Trump. Now, Trump is tough. Trump loves a good fight. I think we may not all understand that about him. He's a street guy, tougher than nails. He's a bring it on guy. Come after me. Let's go. He likes it. He enjoys it. I think he enjoys the attention as well, perhaps. I don't know. But they will not stop. We've got eventual elections coming up. They will do everything they can to destroy it and to steal the House back. Folks, I'll tell you, throughout history, the Democrats have had majority control of the three branches of government. In other words, they've owned and controlled two out of three of the branches, like over 90% of the time. Whenever Republicans take over control, they flip out. And they are dirty. They are the dirtiest. They'll use tactics that are just so horrendously unethical. They use language and behavior that I would hope that if your child used, you would absolutely, you know, old school, slap their face. New school, I don't know how you're supposed to deal with discipline, because you can't spank, you can't, you know, you certainly can't hurt your child's self-esteem. My goodness, you know, that would be just terrible. This is the new way. So, but you know, the way that we're behaving as adults, and you know, all these protests, and I mean, Antifa, and you know, anti-fascists that are fascists. They don't even know what they want. They really are ignorant. They're uneducated. Our education system de-educates, reprograms, and brainwashes these children. Between the media and the academia, folks, people don't even know truth. They don't know how to think for themselves. School does not teach kids how to think anymore. It teaches them what to think. And this is communism at its purest form. We've got to understand that we literally are practicing the 10 planks of communism. I spoke with an individual the other day who was a foreigner, and he was, you know, spewing, gushing, whatever, communism, socialism, just garbage, just lies. You know, here's the problem. There's facts and truth, and then there's whatever you want there to be, okay? You've got this huge group of people that make up what they want. They don't know what socialism is. Socialism is legalized theft and legalized counterfeiting. The fiat currency system that we use, the Federal Reserve Bank, is counterfeiting. They counterfeit money. It's fake, okay? Socialism is the redistribution of wealth. You have no right to have more than X. Obama said that nobody should earn more than $250,000 a year. Now, what really sickens me is there's listeners out there right now that are living on far less than that, that are saying, well, I can see that. It would be enough for me. So what? It's not your money. What if, you know, the Bible is just filled with stories of God blessing all kinds of people, patriarchs and so on. You know, there's one after the next that he's, you know, literally blessed. I mean, he starts with Abraham, where, you know, and he blesses individuals. He actually is ironic, if you really think about it. He blessed Job. He blessed Moses. He blessed, you know, obviously Solomon, David. He blessed those that he loved. How did he bless them? A lot of times monetarily. The Bible says whether you turn, when God blesses you, whether you turn to the left or to the right, he will bless you. That's God's blessing. When God blesses you, get out of the way, because it's the real deal. And he has blessed people. So socialism says man rules. Capitalism, republicanism. The term capitalism has been really misguided. Because what capitalism is supposed to be is completely, totally free market. Here's the problem. The reason that people object to capitalism and corporatism, well, one of the primary reasons people object to capitalism is corporatism, okay? What the problem is it's not a true free market. What happens is a guy gets a bunch of money and then he buys off people that have a rule and authority and influence, and it's corrupt. And then, you know, it gets bad, and it just, it's human nature. Why? I don't know. What's the perfect form of government? Well, I believe that the government that our founding fathers started, the Republic of the United States of America, was the perfect form of government, because the government was supposed to remain so small that we literally teetered on the edge of anarchy. Now, it's the president's job to protect the border. It's Congress's job to write law and legislate. It's the Senate's job to turn those into bills or laws, to turn the bills into laws. It is the Supreme Court's duty to enforce the Constitution. When people dispute over constitutional issues, it is the Supreme Court's job to take that on. When we had Obamacare float through, and we had that Justice Robert Kennedy, or I think that's who it was, complete and total coward, calls it a tax or whatever, and absolutely turns the country upside down. I will tell you, as an employer, before Obamacare, you should have seen the insurance programs I gave my employees. We used to go through Costco. They had five levels, okay? And I would pay 100% of the employee's insurance and 75% of the family. We would pick the highest best program that Costco offered, the Cadillac of Cadillac programs. And they would have a program where no matter where they were or what they were doing, no matter what, they would literally have no more than a $20 copay. Since then, Obamacare is a train wreck. You can only enroll it within a teeny little window in January. I know because I hire people. You know, I have another individual that I'm bringing on is, you know, kind of a balanced employee. I won't get into the details. I can't give him insurance. He's not eligible for enrollment until next January. So I can't insure him. That's a problem. Obama really destroyed things. Folks, what has happened since Obama? If you look at it, go to Seattle. Downtown is filled. I've been there. Filled with tents. It's legal to pitch tents on public sidewalks, under bridges, and all over the place. Where did all this come from? Socialism. Why? America never used to be like that. Because people didn't want to see it. And so the left says, oh, of course they didn't want to see it. They wanted to hide it. You know, the rich doesn't want to know about the poor. They want to keep it a secret. They, you know, blah, 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 blah. No. What changed? What changed? Why has this suddenly shown up this way? You got to ask yourself these questions. What changed? I mean, when I was in Seattle for a couple weeks while my father was in the Harborview Hospital there prior to passing eventually, I could not believe it. I stayed in a hotel that was about 8 to 10 blocks from Harborview Medical Center. I rented a car. I wouldn't even walk there. Why? When I walked up the hill, there was a little creek of human waste. And you know what I mean by that. And it was stinky and it was bad and it was filthy. No. And then, you know, these people are on welfare and all kinds of stuff. Welfare creates failure. I mean, the point of welfare was it was a temporary stay, a temporary protection or assistance to help you through a difficult time as you looked for a new job. That's what it was. Now, what is welfare? Now, welfare is a multi-generational lifestyle. I met a gal. I bought a big estate. She would be assigned 7, 8, 9 families at a time. She would have to go to these homes and literally spend time with these families to teach the mother how to cook, teach them about food quality. These people would be feeding their kids McDonald's and all kinds of trash at the grocery store. They were on food stamps. They did not know what they were doing. They were not educated. Why are we not getting educated? I mean, think about it. We've got our kids' minds for 12 years. What, 8 hours a day? 5 days a week for 9 months? Whatever it is. You know, you got 40 hours a week, say, for 9 months. I mean, that's 1,500 hours a year for 12 years, 18,000 hours, okay? The average, if you work 40 hours a week, which no one successful does, by the way, they work more. But anyway, if you work 40 hours a week, that's 9 years of professional labor. What could you teach a child in that time? Everything. When I was growing up in Montana, we had a class called Home Economics. And what did they teach you? They taught you how to cook. They taught you how to clean. They taught you how to balance the checkbook. They taught you how to budget. They taught you how to live life right. But you can't do that now. You know, they don't, it's not your right. You have no right. We have no right to teach them this stuff. So anyway, communism is in full throttle, folks. Sorry to break the news to you. FDR, you know, threw it full throttle. Around 1900, it became a popular theory. Karl Marx created it. And the problem is when he did, it was kind of necessary. I hate to admit it. They had the proletariat and bourgeoisie, and it was wrong. Okay, people were being abused, to put it lightly. In America, we had unions. You know, 1881, the federal organized trades and labor unions were formed, and I think the AFL, American Federal Federation of Labor, now it's the AFL-CIO. My mother-in-law worked for him for a number of years. Corruption, oh goodness, oh goodness. She worked around, you know, she'd have to go to these conventions where all the men would cheat on their wives, and you know, these are the people that ran our labor union. It was just corrupt as could be. They would do dirty things and go out at night and slash tires and burn houses and ruin property and threaten people. And Congress became, you know, more sympathetic back then. And it just, you know, communism, socialism became more popular. We eventually, you know, we had the Great Depression, the crash of 29, which was terrible. The Roaring Twenties were cool. I would have liked to seen them because everything was built of quality. There's some of the neatest stuff you'll ever see from the Roaring Twenties. Money was flying. Now, it wasn't real money, but it was the first time fiat currency had hit the market and people thought it was good stuff. And man, did they build some cool stuff. Quality, you know, the Roaring Twenties had a lot of quality, a lot of fun. A lot of low regulation. You could make all kinds of vehicles and whatever you wanted to make, you could make. The government wasn't sticking their nose in your business. Now we are so hyper regulated, you can't even imagine what it's like. I mean, it's just really out of control. But now, like I said, socialism, people, God blesses people. Now, God literally, it's his responsibility to give and take away. The Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Am I right? You know, we've got, you know, we can go down. I mean, I don't, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, Elisha, even Jezebel, right? You know, Jesus, you know, Jacob's ladder, where he, you know, where the big battle over the Dome of the Rock, you know, he was blessed beyond measure. Mary and Martha, and you know, on it goes. Job got blessed. Lazarus was blessed. He was raised from the dead. And you know, I mean, these aren't the best examples, but Abraham and Sarah having a baby at over 100 years old, and on and on and on. Zacchaeus, I think it was, where Jesus went and visited him. And you know, even Joseph, look at Joseph, the coat of many colors. He gets thrown in a pit and he goes to prison and he does every, you know, God used all that to prepare him. Hard times make good people. Extreme duress sharpens you. That, now think of that. When you are going through trouble, when people say, man, you've got bad luck and you're a believer, praise the Lord, because he loves you and he is disciplining you. Discipline is a good word in the Bible. It means that he is sharpening you up because he's got a plan for your life. If God did not care about you, ouch. You know, you don't want that. You want God to want you. You want God to love you. God blesses those who love him. The Bible's very good. And he disciplines those that he loves. You know, they speak of it over and over in the Bible. It comes up. I, You know, it says, you know, Job, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves. What's reproof? Think about it. What is reproof? Reproof is correction from the Lord. Okay? It means it's yakak. And I'm sure I mispronounced that. Yakah in Hebrew. And it means to judge, to decide, to prove, to convict, you know, to rebuke, to correct. Job says in 5:17, behold, how happy, wait a minute, happy? Happy? Is the man whom God reproves, how happy? So God's correcting you and guiding you, but the real word is translated wrong. The real word in Hebrew is Esher, and it really means blessed. How blessed is the man whom God reproves? We want God to reprove us. We want God to correct us, right? I mean, that means God loves you. The Bible's very crystal clear about this. You know, you got, do not, you know, Proverbs 3, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And reproofs for discipline are the way of life. So, God's commandments are a lamp. His teaching or his word is the light. And reproofs, corrections, discipline, whatever, well, reproofs for discipline, it says, are the way of life. When you live for God, with God, etc., that's the way it is. You want God involved in your life. He's making you a better person. So do not ever. Now, when Job was being, you know, severely tested, what did his friends do? Oh, they all turned their back and they said, you've got crap luck. You are just garbage. You must have blown it. You know, God just doesn't like you and he is really getting even and you're full of sin. Well, ironically, he was one of the most holy men on earth. That's why Satan wanted a piece of his action, right? Ironic, isn't it? You know, and you go on and on. So, you know, it talks about, you know, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. But he who hates reproof is stupid. That's Proverbs 12:1. Whoever loves discipline, okay, you want to be disciplined? Whoever loves it loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid. That's a pretty big word. If you don't like being guided, corrected, taught, educated, you're stupid. The Bible says it means you have know-it-all disorder. Possibly, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. So a scoffer is someone that's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline. You get discipline from the Lord, but when you, if you neglect it, not reject it, neglect it, avoid it, ignore it, just move on, you will get what? Poverty and shame. Do you want that? Now, with socialism, which started really heavy in the church in 1900, it became popular. You had to be poor to be a good believer. You could not be wealthy and be a good believer. You know? But that doesn't make sense. God owns everything. Why would God not bless financially his chosen ones? Why would he not? Now, you know, he knows our tolerance levels and our strengths and our giftings and our talents. And it doesn't mean if you have a lot of money, God loves you. And if you don't, he doesn't. It means none of that. Many of us can't handle it. many of us are just not equipped to spend money properly. I know plenty of people that they can't manage it. They just can't manage money. And it's usually combined with what I would refer to a minute ago as know-it-all disorder. They just don't want to educate themselves. So he's going to limit, what you do because of the destructive nature, et cetera, et cetera. So I think you get the point. We are moving into a world where socialism is supposedly acceptable. We've been here before. It led to some pretty bad times. We're heading that way again. I think Trump gets it. Et cetera and so on. So we're going to be chill out on that a little bit. And then with the small amount of time I've allowed myself, ha, shocker. That's what I always do. Anyway, let's just talk a little bit about money. Okay. Now, where are we in this world right now? I have a good friend I met with this weekend, him and his wife and I, and my wife went out. And he's been with the government forever, and he's way, 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 way up. I mean, G18 or whatever. I mean, he's just way, way up there. And he was saying last time we met, he had $1 million plus. Now he said his account's all the way down to $750,000. What? I thought the market was doing really good. No, maybe not. Okay, so avoid it. Run from it. Get away from it. Yeah, we're at 24,000 on the Dow, but we've got hyperinflation. We have seen this thing go all over the place. It has not been a pretty picture. Historically, it has been all over the place. We have watched this thing just jump and jump and jump, and I'm just telling you, be careful. Watch out. Since Trump got in the game, we had the Dow clear down almost to 15,000, and we saw it hit, 27,000? I mean, it's too much. It's not natural. It's not a real market. It's a mess. So when do you get off the bus? Do you think there's nowhere to go? Do you think that God knows what he's talking about when he says you should own precious metals? Do you think he knows that hard assets are true wealth? Do you think? I think he does. I think he knows that true wealth is hard assets. So get yourself into hard assets. Right now, you got a couple options. One, roll. You got 401ks and IRAs. Now, people don't understand. IRA means independent retirement account. It's a huge umbrella. Underneath that umbrella, there's all kinds of options. But all it is a pre-tax investment. Pre-tax. Before you pay income tax, you invest your money. And then you're going to pay the income tax later when you pull it out. And the whole concept is, then you have more money to invest. But it's foolish because which it doesn't seem to do, but if it multiplies, you're going to just owe that much more tax. Now, who's going to be in office when you pull it out? And what's the tax rate going to be? And if you pay your little piddly tax each time, you take that money out, you're fine. But if you build a nice big nest egg where you have $300,000-$500,000, which a lot of people do, and you go to take that out at once, you're going to get hammered. Now, Trump's made that a lot better temporarily. Right now, you've got an opportunity that is the best that I've seen in my lifetime, okay? I've been doing money for 3 decades, okay? This is the best time. The tax rates on big money is the lowest it's been. If you're under 59 and a half, you still have to face penalties. But you can roll over, which means you just call us. We roll you into a trust account. And then we put your money into literal physical precious metals that you can hold in your hand, that you pick out literally specific coins, specific items. And it's a pretty strong limitation on what you can have, but It's true precious metals. And the reason they limited it is just to prevent a lot of these schlock artists from putting the boots to you. Okay. Now, option two, you can roll out. Rolling out scares people, but I did it. I mean, my friends have done it. My parents have done it. And now it's a good time. Okay. Silver's so cheap, it's sickening. Gold's, gold's weak-ish, but strong. The dirt has been pounded down, okay? Packed down, ready to roll. There is a big correction coming. Now, the stock market can collapse up, meaning hyperinflation outruns it. So now is the time to make the move. You want to roll out? We'll help you do that. What happens is you got about 15 months to pay the tax. So you take your money out. Let's just use a number. Say you had $100,000. Okay. You take that out today and we put you into a nice balanced portfolio. We, by the way, have got phenomenal product. The best I've ever had. Stuff you can't dream of. Things I'm selling literally at half of what I was selling them for less than 10 years ago. Okay. We've had, certain silver dollars and gold coins and just things that you cannot even believe. They're tremendous investment values. Tremendous. Okay. You roll out, you get these products. You have 15 months. Now, if you just get a simple return, say your silver goes from $16 to $24. That's a 50% increase. And then your tax basis might be 15%. You've got more than enough money to pay the tax. Now you own the product anonymously, privately. It is yours. Okay? The value right now on metals and assets, portfolios that we build, is ridiculous. It is ridiculously well valued. Take advantage of it, please. Please, please, I'm begging you. You know, I don't care if you have 5,000, 10,000, 1,000, whatever. Get in here and do it. Now, I'm such a firm believer at the timing. I just know. I've been doing this a long time. I've been around money way too long. God's gifted me in it. He's given me insights. I've got a lot of education, a lot of testing and proving and whatever. It is going to happen. So it's important that you take care of it while you can. Do not think you're smarter than the system. Don't think you're going to see it coming. Frauds end suddenly. 747s don't crash softly. Okay? Prepare yourself now. I assure you. We've got some of the most phenomenal coins we've ever had. We've got a whole bunch of people that have brought in their portfolios. We're going through them. We're swapping stuff out. Forgive us for time. I know there's some listeners that are like, it's been maybe 4 or 5 days or whatever. We've been buried helping you out. Now is a perfect time. It's such a perfect time. 401ks or IRAs, folks, no questions. No questions. You've got to deal with it now. Just call us. Talk to Mike. Just get the stuff switched over. You've got nothing to lose. You just are moving from one account to another. You can put the money in a money market. When it's time, you can buy the metal. You can buy some. You can buy all. You can liquidate some. You can liquidate all. You have complete and total control anywhere at any time. It's a beautiful thing. And you can have precious metals. Roll out. Once you own that stuff, folks, I'm going to tell you straight up. We sell products that don't require 1099 reporting. That means that you sell this product, there's no reporting, no pieces of paperwork coming to you, the IRS, nothing else. Privacy, 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 confidentiality. It's just the way of the system. So, as usual, I'm a little tight on time. Hey, I'll do it again. I always ram this in real quick. You want a free, nice quality silver dollar? Give us a 5-star Google review. Explain your business experience with us. You want two nice, and because of the market, I'm giving them real nice silver dollars. Okay. You want two of them? Go do 3 reviews, you know, like Yahoo, Google, and whoever else. Get it out there. Get free money, free silver dollars. You can turn around and sell it right away, whatever you want. But I'm just telling you, folks, this is the time. It's the time. It's the time. It's the time. It's the time. They're going to go after Trump so hard, it's going to get tough. So please prepare yourself now. Don't wait. Trust me. Take care. God bless. Thanks for tuning in. I love you. Praise God. Amen. And we'll see you Friday. Bye-bye.